Well, I give my love to each and every one of you tonight. It's just a few of us, it seems, but it's okay. It's there where any two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before you tonight. We're just your servant, and we ask you for strength. We ask you for anointing. We ask you for clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about this. The Lord's been giving me this thought for, I don't know, maybe off and on for almost a week, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, for some days. And I really didn't know where you want me. And he showed me today to bring it here. So I share it with you. I hope it'll be an inspiration, encouragement to each one, just like it was for me. So let's go to St. John chapter 1. And I want us to read from verses 1 to 14. I desire your prayers because I'm not feeling very strong and I don't know why.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So the thought that I get out of this is behold his glory. And I thought about the disciples, how that they actually had a chance to, in person, behold his glory. You know, if I had a wish, that would be one of my wishes. I wish I could have been right there. Like Mary Magdalene, right there. Sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, and beholding his glory. I want us to just think about the glory of the Son of God. We know God himself and his Son has great glory. But how do we behold his glory? You know, we have to take him into our heart. I don't think people really get the glory of God until they give their hearts to God. And when we give our hearts to God, we have a different perspective. You know, some people look at the way of God as it's a dull, boring, all kinds of things. And yet, when we give our heart to God, we see it in a different light. We behold his glory. And it says here, as the only begotten, we beheld his glory. the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They had never seen nothing like this, I believe. Nothing like him. Full of grace and truth. All that he had to speak out was truth.
Yes.
Full of it and living it.
Yes.
So tonight, can you just take a little glimpse of the glory of our dear Savior? Full of grace. He showed us. You know, I get really excited when I think about this way and how beautiful it is. And how when you partake of it and you get a personal relationship with the Lord, it just makes life so beautiful and so wonderful and so different. Even when things are not going good for us, we can still behold the beauty of the Lord. We can still behold his glory. Let's go to John. Let's go down, same chapter. Go down to verse 29.
The next day, John appeared to Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Behold. Behold, look at him. Look at the Lamb. Look at this wonder that God has brought to us. Oh, you know, think about it. What life would be without Jesus? What would it be? A lot of anger, a lot of wrath. The world, if we look at the world today, we would see what it is. A lot, it wouldn't even be a safe place, and it's just a terrible thing to be without him. But yet, we have access to him. We can behold the Lamb of God. And why? He takes away the sin of the world. Sin has caused all the heartaches and trouble that people have today. But Jesus has taken it away. And we can enjoy, and we can behold his glory. Oh, it's because we believe on him. That's how come we can do this. John 17, let's read verses 5 through 8.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee.
So you see, he says, glorify me with the glory that I had before the world, when I was with you. Do you know we can see this great glory that he had because we believe in him? We can see. And he asked the Father to glorify him with the glory that he had before the foundation of the world. And so he gave it to us. We are privileged people. I feel privileged. Somebody was saying something about I'm well taken care of. They were talking about the life of a Christian. And it's just like you might say to some people, you know, I have a surprise. I want to tell you about this surprise. Sometimes I like to do that with the children or something. And you kind of, okay, we're going to do this, or this is going to happen, but you can't tell anybody. Kind of like that. Well, I feel sort of privileged. That child feels very privileged. You know, they already know what's going to happen. I'm surprised and so, but you can't tell. Well, it's that way with the Lord. He's given us something that in one scripture he said the world cannot see it. Their eyes are blinded to it. But he opens it up to us and we're able to enjoy and see things that others can't see. When you're in sin, your eyes are blinded and you don't get to see these things. But when you give your heart to God, he opens up the surprise, the package, and there's more to come. Do you know what we see now is just a little glimpse? Just a little glimpse of what we're going to see. If we will live for him and we'll walk in his ways and please him, we're going to see the big surprise. But right now, we can just behold what we've seen in our dear Lord in Jesus. The same chapter, go down to verse 20, 21.
Mm-hmm. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
So how do we get this? It says, I pray for not for them alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know, that includes us. The disciples got that taste first, but now we get to have a part of it. And it doesn't leave one of us out. Every one of us can have this. It's so beautiful. It says that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And verse 22 says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I give unto them, that they may be one. So we even get a chance to partake of some of that glory. Don't feel worthy, but I'm thankful that he counted me in. He didn't leave me out. Oh, I just hope that you all will get a hold to what the Lord has blessed me with. These thoughts have been such encouragement to me. Now let's go to Revelation 13 and 8. Jesus gave his life as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Through his dying on the cross, through his going through all of this, he gets that glory and we are able to partake of it. But it's through his sacrifice of his own life for our sins. Oh, so then.
13 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life slain from the foundation of the world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning, God intended to give his son a sacrifice for our sin. See, God knew. He knew what was going to happen. When he made man, he knew this. But he sacrificed his son from the very beginning. It was in the mind of God. And he did this for us. But yet, when he did, his son would receive this glory. And we get to partake of this glory. Revelations 5 and 11 and 12.
And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
See, he made that sacrifice of his life, but then with that, you know, sometimes people look down on you when you're suffering. They do. They look down on you, you know, "Oh, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to." No doubt the disciples at the time didn't even understand why Jesus had to die. But then he was revealed to them, and then they could see the glory. And this affected their lives. And I believe when we begin to look at the glory that is revealed through Jesus, it will have an effect on us. Yeah. I think it's in, I'm not sure, Philippians 2, 5 and 11. I'm not sure that's one. But we are going to be affected. So it is good for us to take time and behold the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Lord. In Philippians, we find out more about how Jesus suffered and was willing to suffer for us. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Okay, so Jesus did this. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. But it paid off. It paid off in great dividends. It paid off for us and even for Jesus himself. It says, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in the heavens, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father." You see, he was willing to take on this place. You know, sometimes I can't hardly fathom this, and yet it's real. You have the Son of the living God, yes, made the earth. He was right there.
Yes.
And yet, he had such a humility that he was willing to take on the form of a servant. You could say, well, he was great. He could come and he could, you know, get everybody to bow to him and be like kings on this earth. But no, he took that lowly place of a servant. And it says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, which he could have. He could have said, "I am the Son of God. I can do anything. You bow to me." That's what it seemed like. But no, he didn't do that. And he took on the form of a servant and made himself in the likeness of men. He came lower than the angels, and yet he's higher. Yes. Can you imagine this? And found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But now we can behold his glory. Sometimes I think of heaven, And I think what it's going to be like to get face to face with Jesus. That song says something about our vow. It's one song about heaven. Yeah, but it's like when I get to heaven, I'm going to bow. And this is what I think about. It's going to even be a privilege to me to be able to bow at his feet. Oh, thank the Lord. Hebrews 1:1-3. So we want to be faithful. We want to embrace this King, this wonderful Savior, yeah, that was willing to go so low and give his life for us.
Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Yes. So he, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we have this wonderful Savior that today we can behold his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when we do this, we find ourselves drawn to him, drawn to the majesty, the glory that he has,
yes,
drawn to live like him.
Yes.
It changes us.
Yes.
It affects us. John 12, let's read 32. Well, I won't read that one because I can pretty much tell you. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He was talking by his death. By his death,
yes,
he has been lifted up from the earth and draw all men unto,
yes,
him. He draws all men unto him. So as we look at him,
yes,
and his majesty and his glory,
yes,
it draws us to,
yes,
him. Now I want us to read 1 Peter 4:1-2.
As Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God.
It's another scripture that I wanted to. I'm not sure. Might have been. But we know that he did suffer in the flesh. And we're to, you know, sometimes you wonder, see how eager the disciples were, the apostles were, to suffer for him? They saw something. If we get a hold to what Jesus has done for us, it will affect us to,
right,
be willing to suffer for his sake. You know, the natural man doesn't want to suffer. But because of the glory of God, we have a willingness to suffer.
Yes.
That's what it's going to take. It's going to take our vision, having a vision of what Christ did this. He did this for me. How willing then I am to do for him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18.
All with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
That's the scripture. As we with open face behold the glory of the Lord, we're changed. Makes a difference. I think if we can get a hold to what Jesus did for us on this level, I don't think we're the same. We can't do the same things, talk the same way. We can't act the same way. We are changed.
Yes.
Because we are beholding his glory. 1 Timothy 1:16-17.
I obtain mercy. For howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that it be first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Was that the verse you wanted?
3:17.
Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Let's just don't worry about that. But we just want to get the thought that how that our beholding the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, has an effect on our lives, and we're changed. Not only so, but he's willing to give us this glory as well.
Yes.
I just want you to stop and think a minute. Think of people that you know that really live close to the Lord. What do you see in that? Don't you see the glory of God on them? When they can take wrong and show love to the person wronging them, don't you see God's glory in that? When they can do things like Jesus would do it, be kind, wanting, loving, affectionate. You know, I did get to hear some of that funeral yesterday. And I was just kind of overwhelmed at the things the people were saying. She was always, what, kind? It was the way and she had so much love that the love went beyond her children and her family. It went everybody else that she came in contact with. And so when you think about that, your mind goes on the Lord, doesn't it? It goes on how Jesus would have done. So he gives us some of that glory. He wants us to have that glory. Let's go to John 17, back to John 17:22-23.
Over which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
So you see, that glory didn't stop with Jesus. God had it, Jesus had it, and he gives it to his people. But one of these days, we're going to see him in the fullness of his glory. So read 24. That whole chapter is so much about the glory of God. 17:24.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me when I am where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
we get to get that little glimpse here, and then when we go to heaven, we're going to see him in the fullness of his glory. He said, I think he said, what? This as he had before the foundation, what was that? That you may...
Which God has given me, for God has loved me before the foundation of the world.
So we're going to see the fullness. We, like I said, it's just a little taste here. Let's go to Philippians 3 and 21. So I look forward to that time.
Yes.
I do. And sometimes I get so excited when I get to thinking about heaven. I've thought about this. Sometimes, you know, as you get older, you think about what happened after you leave here. And I thought, I want to keep the mind that I have now.
Yes.
But I don't really want people to be sad. I want them to think of me as happy.
Yes.
And I want them to have a service. That's what I would like. Don't be sad for me. Be glad for me. That's what, if I keep this mind like I have today, that's what I want. A rejoicing time.
Yes.
Not a sad time. Rejoicing because she got what she wanted. Philippians 3 and 21.
Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
See, this vile body, it perishes. You know, we get older. Things stop working like they used to. But he's going to change our body to the glorious body that he has. That his glory is going to equal to the glory of heaven. So, you know, when a person is been saved and they really live for God and they love the Lord and they go to heaven, yeah, we'll miss them. Because I know what I felt like when my mother left. But no doubt, if I can have a little conversation with her now, she'd probably say, girl, don't you dare. Don't you dare cry. Or don't you dare be wanting me back there.
Yes.
This is glorious.
Yes.
And that's what we want. We want to get a taste of glory. We got a little bit here. But we're going to see it in its fullness. The last scripture, Revelations 5 and 13.
Revelation 5 and 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever.
That's what we're going to do. That's what we have to look forward to. We're going to be up there saying blessed and glory forever and ever. Pray for me.